الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري، صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, in the brief time that we have, I want to commence my address with a verse of the Quran and then develop on that verse into certain advices of the great companion Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Often we find people in the Ummah, in the period in which we are living, that want to develop or channel their strength in an avenue which is objective, but they don't know what the options are. The verse that I recited before you is a very comprehensive verse of the Quran, which is going to break it down in pieces, in short anecdotes, and then understand it more detail. This is the command that Allah had issued to the Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, when Allah instructed him to go and convey the message to Pharaoh. So the first message in it is idhab. Idhab. Idhab literally means go. The scholars say this ayah means, or this portion of the ayah means, tahdim as-salbiyya wa tabni an-nashab. Put an end to stagnation in your life. Put an end to laziness in your life. And let there be meaningful action. Move, advance, exploit, capitalize, seize the moment, do something. But don't stagnate. Let it not be that you are inactive. Idhab. I have an eye for wildlife, and Africa is known for wildlife. Recently I had flown to one of the airports close by the national park, and as I was hopping onto the flight, there was a sign there that caught my eye, and it left me thinking. They say, every day in Africa, a gazelle gets up in the morning and knows it has to run faster than the fastest lion, or else it will be killed. Every morning a lion gets up in Africa and knows it has to outrun the slowest gazelle, or else it will starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun rises, you better be running. When the sun rises, you better be running. Idhab, move. Anta wa akhuka, you and your brother. What is the message here? Tahdim al-fardiyya wa tabni al-jama'iyya. Put an end to a sense of being individual. I'm myself. I'm an island by myself. Learn to network. When Allah told the Prophet Musa, go, Allah said, take your brother and go. As an ummah, we need to pool our resources. We need to work with the spirit of togetherness. Idhab anta wa akhuka bi ayati. With my signs, tahdim al-jahla wa tabni al-ilma. Put an end to ignorance. You need divine light. You need divine guidance. If you want to mobilize, you want to rally, you want to achieve, you want to accomplish, but you're devoid and bereft of any divine knowledge and sacred knowledge, then what mission will you advance? What cause will you go for? So the message is, أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ بِآيَاتِ وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِ. And do not be lazy. In English they say, laziness is nothing more than the habit of retiring to bed before you're tired. Laziness is nothing more than the habit of relaxing before you're tired. We're getting up tired. What a life. So I want to take this into a next stage, and that is advisors of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Quickly, because time is short, and it will give us some meaningful direction. He radiallahu anhu used to say, حَذِرَ امْرُؤٌ أَن تُبْغِضَهُ قُلُوبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Let it not be that the hearts of the pious despise and dislike you for reasons you cannot comprehend or fathom. So you just find that the pious are withdrawn from you. They dislike you. Then he said, أَتَدْرِي مَا هَذَا. Do you know when this happens? So the person, Salim, said, no, I don't know. He said, العبد يخلو بمعاصي الله عز وجل فيلقي الله بغضه في قلوب المؤمنين من حيث لا يشعر. When an individual persists on disobeying Allah in his private life, he continuously disobeys Allah, then part of the system of Allah is, as a result of that perpetual discreet indulgence in sin, Allah casts resentment and dislike in the hearts of the pious for such a person. They would dislike him. They would not have time for his prayers. They will withdraw from him. And what good is there in this life and staying on this earth if the pious do not include us in their du'as, do not include us in their happy moments? Furthermore, he said, يا معشر أهل الأموال بردوا على جنودكم من أموالكم قبل أن نكون وإياكم فيها سواء ليس إلا أن تنظروا فيها وننظر فيها معكم. Oh, the assembly of the wealthy, those whom Allah has endowed with the economic muscle, whom Allah has endowed with wealth and clout, cool your skins off from the blazing fire of hell. Before a time comes where you're on the verge of death and you'll have no option but to look at your wealth and regret, and we as onlookers will join you in looking at that wealth, but it will not avail you nor avail us. Then he went on to say, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ جَمَّاعٍ فَاغِرٍ فَاهُ. We know there's economic volatility. We know the markets are not stable. But as believers, we were given direction from the beginning of time. Look at these words. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ جَمَّاعٍ فَاغِرٍ فَاهُ كَأَنَّهُ مَجْنُونٌ يرى ما عند الناس ولا يرى ما عنده لو يستطيع لوصل الليل بالنهار ويله من حساب غليظ وعذاب شديد. ويل لكل جماع. Woe be to the one who's only driven by the passion of amassing more and more. فاغرٍ فاه. His mouth is ever open to taking more. يرى ما عند الناس ولا يرى ما عنده. He constantly envies those that have more than him, but he never pauses to reflect over what Allah endowed him with. لو يستطيع لوصل الليل بالنهار. In his quest for materialism, if he could merge the night and day into one, so he could work 24 hours, he wouldn't stop at any level. وَيْلُهُ مِنْ حِسَابٍ غَلِيظٍ وَعَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. For him there is a severe and a painful torment that awaits him. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then writes a letter. He writes a letter to Salman. Understand the great nature of this correspondence. It between two stalwarts, two giants, two legends, two veterans, two companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كتب أبو الدرداء إلى سلمان اغتنم صحتك وفراغك قبل أن ينزل بك من البلاء ما لا يستطيع العباد رده. Listen my good friend, I want to remind you, value your health. Value your health. اغتنم صحتك وفراغك. And value the time that Allah has given you, the opportunity that Allah has given you. The most dangerous thing in life is that you have nothing to do. And it gets more dangerous when you have plenty of time to do nothing. The most dangerous thing in life is you have nothing to do. You sit idle. There can be nothing more dangerous than that. And it gets much more dangerous when you have excess time and surplus time and surplus wealth with no action and no direction. So value your time and value the moments Allah has given you before death strikes at your door. وَمَنْ نَزَلَتْ بِهِ وَمَنْ نَزَلَتْ بِسَاحَتِهِ الْمَنَايَا فَلَا أَرْضٌ تَقِيهِ وَلَا سَمَاءُ. Imam Shafi said, the land is broad and vast and you can traverse the planet, but when the angel of death knocks, then that very vast land narrows upon you. Now no location on the earth can shelter you because the angel of death is stalking you and pursuing you. Then he says, وَغْتَنِمْ دَعْوَةَ الْمُبْتَلَى. exploit and capitalize on the prayer of the afflicted. About 6 weeks ago, I was in Lombok Island in Indonesia where the quake had struck. We landed in Jakarta and then we took a connection flight to Lombok, which was the epicenter of multiple quakes. And after distributing a lot of aid, we drove 3 hours to a particular location and we summit a hill. And it's extremely hot. It's blistering, it's scorching, it's sweltering. And at the top of this hill, there's a tent. There are brothers in the tent and sisters waiting outside, like 40 degrees. And I've been asked to give a talk. And honestly, I have found myself in these challenging situations in many a times in my life where the individual or the attendee can inspire me more than I can inspire them, because they're going through the motions and the challenges. But nonetheless, Allah inspired me with a verse of the Quran, and I said to them, إِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. That, oh my brethren and oh my sisters, you are in pain, and may Allah make it easy for you. The comfort and the consolation that the Quran gives you, if you are in pain, then this is not exclusive to the believer. People of other faiths also are experiencing difficulty and challenges. But you know, O believer, وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ, that for you in Akhirah, there is great hope, there's great reward, there's great benefit. We get to the top, and as we're walking around, there's a sign on a board dangling on a tree trunk. So the local brother who was our guide, he nudges me, and with tears in his eyes, he says, Sheikh, do you know what's written here in this local language? I'm like, no, I don't have any clue. He says, it's written here, we don't have money, please don't come and sell ice cream in our neighborhood and make our children cry more. We don't have ice cream, please, we don't have money, please don't, as an ice cream vendor, please don't come here and sell ice cream. It's too painful for us to see our children cry. I am in the house of Allah, excuse me, I am in the house of Allah. Wallahi, I could not contain my emotions. I could not contain my emotions. I cried to Allah at that moment. I said, oh my Lord, I don't know how, but I beg of you that while we are here, you make some arrangement that someone can come who's selling ice cream, and even if it means for a few moments, if I can bring some comfort to the hearts of these people and quench their thirst momentarily. Trust me, few minutes pass, and a man on a motorbike comes selling ice cream. And I'm like, my Lord, من أخذ أموال الناس يريد أداءها أدى الله عنه من سأل الله الشهادة بصدق. When we ask Allah sincerely and passionately, Allah makes it happen. He just comes up, and then I told the interpreter, please negotiate whatever load he has, we want to take it. And we take the ice cream, we pay him, and then people line up in their hundreds. And I had the daunting task to distribute. I say daunting because I don't want to exclude anyone, but my provisions are limited. It's going to be depleted. In my life, I never seen people queue up with such excitement and jubilation to receive a simple ice lolly or an ice cream that can quench your thirst for no more than 10 minutes. وَغْتَنِمْ دَعْوَةَ الْمُبْتَلَى. Learn in life to take the du'as of the afflicted. That is what will rescue you and your progeny. And they lined up and I began distributing. And I was only a facilitator. The donor was someone else. Allah arranged everything. But as I distributed, tears were trickling and the heart was flowing with du'as. So what's the advice? What's the advice of Abu Darda? Go in the world and capitalize on the du'as of the afflicted one. He further goes on to say, لِيَكُنِ الْمَسْجِدُ بَيْتَكَ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ الْمَسَاجِدُ بَيْتُ كُلِّ تَقِيٍّ وَقَدْ ضَمِنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِمَنْ كَانَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِالرَّوْحِ وَالرَّاحَ وَالْجَوَازِ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. That try and frequent the house of Allah. Make it a place of safe haven. Make it a place of amnesty. As a believer, if you cannot frequent your local masjid, it's a fantasy that when you go to the haram, you will sit in the haram for hours. If you are not connected to the masjid, and you cannot engage in extended prayer and recitation, I'm afraid even when you are at the sacred masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're not going to get anything. And every one of us today is searching for inner joy and happiness. وَقَدْ ضَمِنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِمَنْ كَانَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِالرَّوْحِ وَالرَّاحَ وَالْجَوَازِ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. That anyone who learns to frequent the masjid, Allah will give him inner happiness, inner contentment, inner peace. He will find that peace. Come, pray, offer salah. And of course, back in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the masjid was not exclusively designated for prayer. It had many, many other angles and faculties to it. You would recall the children that were playing in the courtyard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the masjid of the courtyard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our masajid need to offer that sense of welcome, ambiance, and protection for the young and old. He further goes on to say, إِرْحَمِ الْيَتِيمَ وَأَجْنِهِ مِنْكَ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ وَقَدْ أَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ يَشْتَكِي قَصَاوَةَ قَلْبِهِ. He said that keep the orphan close to you. Keep the orphan close to you. وَأَطْعِمْهُ مِنْ تَعَامِهِ. And feed him from the food that Allah has given you. Because that will soften your heart. If there's anything that can soften your heart, and that's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is connecting yourself with the destitute, with the poor and the orphan. Earlier this year, I was invited into India in Akalkuwa to deliver a lecture where there was a conference on the completion of the Quran, and this was a superb event which witnessed in excess of 30,000 people, and I was humbled by the opportunity to deliver a keynote address there. And amongst the many amazing features and faculties of this seminary and this institute, it has what they refer to as Allama bil Qalam. Allama bil Qalam is a faculty that the institute provides where kids are taught to write the Quran. So an average child in 15 days writes the entire Quran. And by Allah, you will not be able to differentiate between the written copy and the printed copy. I was blown off my balance, like, wow, this is it. And 2 months thereafter, Allah takes me in this year in the deserts of East Africa. And I land in Kenya, and from there we fly to Mombasa. And from Mombasa we drive down to a place called Masumareni. This was this year, and I'm narrating my personal experience. Two things in particular. Connect yourself with the less privileged. It will soften your heart. It will make your eye tear. It will make you grateful. That is the words of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So I went to inaugurate the opening of a masjid. And on completion of the inauguration of the masjid, the local brother said, we would like you to meet with an elderly sister. I'm like, fine, that's okay. But I was curious why. So after we complete the salah, we go to the rear of the masjid. It's a hut, it's a desert, it's mud walls, it's thatched roof. An old, aged, frail woman comes out on her walking stick. And then I greet her modestly. She greets me, probably in her advanced 80s. And then the interpreter says, Sheikh, this is the woman who donated the land for the masjid. She had one of two options. Either she takes that fund and converts her mud walls into brick walls, or use the only plot she had in her life and donate it for a masjid. Qiyamah is a day full of surprises. Qiyamah is a day full of surprises. The people who we least think about might be right in the front. And those who we might be having lavish hopes about, I'm afraid fate might display a different tale. As we're driving down, it had just rained. There was potholes on the road. With my eyes, I seen the kids in the village running out, stopping on the road, scooping water from the potholes and drinking it. What did Abu Darda say? Connect yourself with them. You're going to connect yourself with the super elite and the affluent, then the only thing that's going to happen in your life is I want to climb the economic and the corporate ladder more and more. But just go there. What they say in English? When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at also change. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at also change. It changes. We get to this little village under a tree. There are 10 students sitting around a tree. It's about 4 in the afternoon. They have this wooden slate. And the ustad comes and he dictates the ayah and they write it. يَكْتُبُونَ عَلَى اللَّوْحِ الْخَشَبِ ثُمَّ يُغَسِّلُونَ اللَّوْحَ مَسَاءً ثُمَّ يَكْتُبُونَ مِنْ جَدِيدٍ. My word! And alhamdulillah, that video went viral and people spent thousands, and alhamdulillah, the institution has been taken care of. But the message will live with me and left an indelible impression. I thought I had seen the greatest 2 months ago where people were writing in amazing husnul khat and calligraphy. And here they write in with an ink pen on a wooden slate under a tree in the deserts of Africa. And hang on, coincidence has it, the ayah they busy memorizing it is Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those that persevere. And I'm like, wow, I'm sitting in an aircon with my students on a cushion and I'm trying to impress upon them the linguistics of the ayah, the backdrop of the ayah, the academics of the ayah, the grammar of the ayah. But I'm devoid of sabr. My students are bereft of sabr. Go deep down and see those that are experiencing it, they will tell you. We move on swiftly. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu writes to Salman radiallahu anhu, Ya akhi, لا تجمع ما لا تستطيع شكره. Oh my brother, don't gather wealth which you know you will not be able to discharge the due of in the eyes of Allah. Don't risk yourself bringing that money into your account when you know you don't have the talent, the know-how, the maturity, the piety, the integrity to dispense of that wealth as Allah wants it. Just don't increase it. How often in life, as a traveler and a seasoned traveler, I can tell you, and I'm sure it will resonate with you, when you travel, often you want to buy a thing, you need it, it's meaningful, but you drop it out of the fear of customs. I don't know how the custom procedure is here or whatever it is, but you look at it, no, drop it. When I land, I need to go through grief. I don't want to be interrogated. I don't want to be subjected. I don't want to be scrutinized. I don't want to be microscopically. I don't want it. I don't want that. I drop it. Ya akhi, la tajma ma la tastati'u shukrahu. Oh my brother, if you cannot discharge the due of something, just don't earn it. Just don't bring it into you. Yes, if you can discharge it due, by all means. فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, because I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, يجاء بصاحب الدنيا يوم القيامة الذي أطاع الله تعالى. The person who owned this wealth, who discharged the due of the wealth, will come before Allah. وماله بين يديه. His wealth will be in front of him. He will be standing before his Creator, and it will be now time to cross the bridge. So out of a sense of anxiety and uneasiness, he will be a bit apprehensive. So his wealth will say to him, Imbi, Imbi. Listen, nothing for you to panic. I'm supporting you all the way. You've discharged all your due. فَقَدْ أَدَّيْتَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ فَقَدْ أَدَّيْتَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ. You've discharged your due. You can move. Listen, sir. No, you're fine. You carry on. No worries. You got to come to a side. ويجاء بصاحب الدنيا يوم القيامة الذي لم يطع الله تعالى وماله على كتفيه. And then will come that man who had wealth but did not discharge the due, the advisors of Abu Darda. Remember my opening ayah, idhhab, move, achieve, accomplish. Don't stagnate, do something in life. Let not life just pass by. We need to achieve something. Then comes the man who did not discharge the due and his wealth is on his shoulders. Every time he'll try to walk, he will stumble and fall. And his wealth will say, Halla amilta bita'ati Allahi azza wa jalla fiyya. Well, it's too late. I was gifted to you as a boon from Allah. You never use me objectively. There's no way you crossing the bridge. Fayad'u bil wayli. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, then he will scream out and say, oh, I wish I can die. And the Quran says, لا تدعوا اليوم ثبورا واحدا وادعوا ثبورا كثيرا فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. You can cry for death not once or twice, 1,000 times. I'm afraid your slogan is not going to be responded to in any way. ويا أخي إني حدثت أنك اشتريت خادما وإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يزال العبد من الله وهو منه ما لم يخدم فإذا خدم وجب عليه الحساب. Abu Darda is writing to Salman Farsi, and Salman was one of those legends. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, we aspire to enter Jannah. Jannah awaits the arrival of Salman. Like, can you understand that accolade? Jannah anticipates the arrival, and this is a letter being written to Salman. He said, listen, I believe you've got a servant in your house, and you've got a helper, and you've got a domestic assistant. It's fine. I just want to tell you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person continues to enjoy the divine blessings, favors, and boons of Allah until he elevates himself to a position where he starts employing people to do everything for him, thereby elevating his profile. In doing so, he definitely makes his accountability a very challenging one. He makes his hisab and his accountability a very challenging one. The narration of Tabri, I just cried. The companions were out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the time of meals. One Sahabi said, "Alayya dabhuha, I'll slaughter the lamb." Another Sahabi said, "Alayya salkhuha, I'll skin the lamb." What did the Prophet of Allah say? "Alayya jam'ul hatab." Okay, then I'll gather the firewood and light the fire and prepare the fire. My word, the paragon of Allah's creation. That's why we say he displayed poverty amidst having an empire. Time is short, so I don't want to go into too much detail. وَيَا أَخِي مَنْ لِي وَلَكَ بِأَنُّ وَافَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا نَخَافُ حِسَابًا. Oh my good brother, what gives us the assurance that on the day of Qiyamah, our reckoning will be simple and easy, and it won't be difficult and complex. Listen to this. وَيَا أَخِي لَا تَغْتَرَنَّ بِسَحَابَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَإِنَّا قَدْ عِشْنَا بَعْدَهُ دَهْرًا طَوِيلًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ بِالَّذِي أَصَبْنَا بَعْدًا. Oh my good friend Salman, you're a companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I'm a companion. But I say to you and I say to myself, come out of the deception that the sheer companionship is adequate for your salvation. We know for a fact that companionship is adequate, and Allah has forgiven them. But look at their internal messages to each other. He's saying, لَا تَغْتَرَنَّ بِصَحَابَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Don't be in the deception because you were companions, so it's done. فَإِنَّا قَدْ عِشْنَا بَعْدَهُ دَهْرًا طَوِيلًا. We lived for many years after the demise of the Prophet ﷺ. We don't know if Allah will judge us on the years we stayed with him or the years we lived after him. And that reminds me of the time when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was dispatching the campaign of Qadisiyah. under the auspices of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. What did he say? Ya Sa'd, la yaghurrannaka min Allah an qil khalu rasulillah fa inna Allah la yamhu as-sayyi'a bis-sayyi'i walakin yamhu as-sayyi'a bil-hasana. I think, you know what, I've done so many hajj. I sit on this board, I run this organization, I am the custodian of this, I organize, facilitate, coordinate, oversee, wow, wow, wow. 10 feathers to your cap, 20 accolades to your name. You have all these plaques on your wall. Lovely, awesome, brilliant, amazing, meritorious. What did he say? You are the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let this not beguile you or deceive you. In the eyes of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدْ نَسَبٌ إِلَّا الطَّاعَةِ فَالنَّاسُ شَرِيفُهُمْ وَوَضِيعُهُمْ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ سَوَاءٌ الله ربهم وهم عباده يتفاضلون بالتقوى ويدركون ما عند الله بالطاعة فانظر الأمر الذي عليه فإنه هو الأمر. Between Allah and His bondsmen, there's no lineage, there's no relationship. Piety is the language that speaks. I fly often, so many of my analogies are with aviation. When you board an aircraft, you are identified by the boarding pass. You might be attired aristocratic. You might be attired with the most colorful, flamboyant dress. But if you have an economy boarding pass, you go to the rear. And you might be attired in a simple dress, in an average dress, in a common dress. But if you have Darajatul Ula, first class, you will be ushered into the first cabin. Because for the duration of this flight, recognition is on your boarding pass. My brother, on the day of Qiyamah, it will be the boarding pass of taqwa. It will be the boarding pass of piety. And those will be the grounds on which we will be recognized. وَمَضَى الْجَيْشِ الْمُبَارَكِ. And this blessed army goes. And you know what was the composition of this army? فِيهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعُونَ بَدْرِيًّا. My words. 99 participants of Badr. Like, wow! 310 ممن كانت لهم صحبة فيما بين بيعة الرضوان فما فوق ذلك. 310 odd Sahaba from the pledge of Ridwan and onwards. وَسَبْعُمِئَةٌ مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الصَّحَابَةِ. And 700 from the children of Sahaba. And what does Sayyidina Umar say? Don't be deceived. Keep your focus. Let this not distract you. One, two things and we conclude. He used to say, مَا لِي أَرَى عُلَمَاءَكُمْ يَذْهَبُونَ وَجُهَّالَكُمْ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ وَأَرَاكُمْ قَدْ أَقْبَلْتُمْ عَلَى مَا تَكَفَّلَ لَكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا أُمِرْتُمْ بِهِ. My word. He said, how strange. I just see scholars, learned, pious, are just passing away. And the gap and the void is not being filled in by the next generation. So the learned are moving on. And the gap is now becoming a gulf. It's getting wider and wider. And people from the rear are not inching forward. That this scholar is gone. I need to get in. I need to learn. وَأَرَاكُمْ قَدْ أَقْبَلْتُمْ عَلَى مَا تَكَفَّلَ لَكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. I see you tiring yourself for your sustenance which Allah has decreed. And I see you don't break a sweat to acquire knowledge which Allah has left to you. And then he's mentioned, okay, the time is up, so I'll just conclude with the outcome of what Allah had blessed him with. When Abu Darda radiallahu anhu had passed away, لما لحق أبو الدرداء بجواء ربه رعى عوف بن مالك الأشجعي فيما يراه النائم. عوف بن مالك الأشجعي seen in a dream, and this is a dream of a Sahabi. مرجا أخضر, this green meadow. فيه قبة عظيمة من أدم. In the dead center there's this beautiful like dome. فصيح الأرجاء وارف الأفياء حولها غنم رابضة لم ترى العين مثلها. There's lambs grazing in the pasture. It's a beautiful, stunning, amazing. The dream and the vision of a Sahabi. فَطَلَعَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنَ الْقُبَّةِ. And from this dome-like structure came out Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. And he said to Awf ibn Malik in the dream, he said, هَذَا مَا أَعْطَانَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. This is how Allah compensated me because of my love for Quran. وَلَوْ أَشْرَفْتَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الثَّنِيَّةِ. But just keep on walking deeper down in Jannah, you're going to see the greatest palace you ever seen in Jannah. So Auf ibn Malik said, I was very intrigued to know whose palace it is and what's this palace. And I went forward, and subhanAllah, it was the most beautiful thing I seen in Jannah, and that was the palace of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, لأنه كان يدفع عنه الدنيا بالراحتين والصدر, because he used to spend freely and generously and openly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those fortunate people that we heed the advice of this great Sahabi of Islam. And if we cannot take all the lessons, let us be sure to take one lesson from it. Let us be sure to take one lesson, and that is we need to engage in the occupation and the acquisition of knowledge. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.